starting point. What would you, if you could choose any time of day to train people? Yeah. Like, what's your ideal window of, like, money wasn't a factor, like, population wasn't a factor. You just
time
had, like...
Time wasn't a factor.
Yeah, time wasn't a factor.
8 a.m.
8 a.m.?
I think that would be doable. I think getting... I mean, I don't eat breakfast because of intermittent fasting, so I think if I got up... I usually get up 30 minutes before, which sounds terrible, but that's what I do.
Yeah, I used to do it all the time.
I just roll out of bed at 7:30. It takes me 15 minutes to get ready. I'm at the gym right at 8.
I mean, you live across the street, so it's not like...
Yeah.
It's the biggest hassle. It's,
yeah. So I would say 8. If I could sleep in every day until 7:30, perfect. That's where my... I feel like that's my rhythm. You know, like, I usually get up on the weekends.
Yeah.
7:30, 7:45, but then I'm like, oh, I have to be up at 6 or 5:30 every day. Let's just lay here for a little bit. I would say 8 a.m. would be my ideal starting time. My ideal finishing time? 6. No later than 6. Because then I could be home, eat supper, et cetera. Be with the family. I think 6 would be cool.
So basically a 9 to 5.
A 9 to 5 would be phenomenal.
If you could structure, if I could do that. Yeah, if that was doable, that'd be perfect.
I feel like I wouldn't have enough time to get everybody that I would want to.
Yeah.
Because there's just not a time.
I just feel like, all right, if you had like only that's what I'm looking at. Like, in an ideal scenario, like, you only needed to train, like, within, like, maybe 5 to 10 people or whatever. Or maybe you only had a few, like, private sessions, and you made, like, bank off of those sessions. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I believe it'd be nice to have, in the morning.
Yeah.
Maybe do, like, in, like, a two sessions, like, 8 to 10.
Yeah, then you train.
Then chill out.
I'd train from, like, 10 to noon. Then you go eat lunch.
Yeah, and then from, like, 2 to 5, you could have another 3
sessions.
That'd
be so nice. Ha! That would be amazing.
In a perfect world.
Yeah, that will never happen.
Would you? So are you a morning person or an afternoon person?
I'm not a morning person. I mean, like, after 7:30, I'm good. But, like, 5:30, like, I mean, once I get up and at 6 a.m. and I start moving around and I'm coaching, I'm fine. But I'm not, like, 5:30 or anything before that is crazy. Like, 5 a.m., people that wake up at 4:30, like, 4 a.m., oh, my gosh. I couldn't do that, but I think it's probably because I go to bed later.
Yeah.
If I went to bed earlier, it'd be different. But then again, I've never even thought about that because I'm not getting home until 9 o'clock at night. So, but I'm not a night person either.
Mm-hmm. But so, I mean, when I say that and ask that, I ask it in the regards of like what's your functionality in the morning? Like, I know some people wake up and they're just like zombified for 3+ hours. Like,
I'm pretty good to go. Like, by 6:30, like, once I'm up. 5:30 to 6 is rough, but then once I get to the gym and I start coaching, I'm awake. I'm good to go. It allows my training to be easier in the morning because I've been up, you know, I train usually at 9:30 now a.m. So, you know, 3.5 hours being awake rather than waking up, you know, at 9 o'clock and trying to train at 9:30. That's not enough time for my body to wake up. You know, I could stretch all I wanted to and warm up all I wanted to. I could not train. Right, I could condition and do like what we do on Saturdays, but like
I agree with that because I cannot comprehend how people can get up early and function and like do activity.
There's
early.
Not enough blood flow for me, or like my body's not. It's just not. I'm not circulating. You know, enough. Like I'm not up. I'm not moving. You know, and so like I couldn't. Some of the guys train at like 4:15, 4 in the morning.
How?
I don't know.
That's what I mean. Like
that's so like that's to me is.
I know your body probably adapts and gets accustomed to it, but what you're saying with the whole like your blood circulation, and like you're just.
I mean, for me to be able to train at 4,
revived.
I need to be up at like 2 a.m.
Yeah,
by then to be ready to go by 4. I it depends on your training too. Like if it's simple, if it's not very stress induced or you know stress related with the amount of weights you're moving or whatever else, then I think 4 a.m. would be doable to wake up 45-30 minutes ahead of that. But if you're trying to get some good numbers, like there's for me it's not possible, you know. So I like training at 9:30 now and getting it out of the way rather than training at 4. Like I mean I miss training at 4. Like I that was my time, but now it's like I'm up long enough that 9:30 rolls around, I'm ready to go. My body's ready to go. I'm ready to move weight. I like
that. I agree. I I am starting to get into a more of a like a morning routine just in my day-to-day life. Because I was like you before, and even if I wasn't training early, just like going to work in any capacity, wake up and like just the morning's rushed. Like I'd wake up at, let's say I have to be at work at 8, so like I wake up at 7. Mm-hmm. And like some people can do it, and even an hour is still like not that bad. You wake up at 7, you got basically you do your whatever you do in the morning routine, brush your hair, whatever, brush your teeth,
put gel on my hair.
Yeah. So you get you wake up at 7, you got till 7:30 to probably do all that stuff, and then maybe even 7:45. But obviously you have to commute to work or whatever.
Yeah.
So that was always me. And I always was like, how do these people, because I was always like, I loved sleep. So like, I'm just going to sleep as long as I can. And you know, you like, you get it down, like you quantify it out and you get it down to like precise numbers of, all right, if I sleep till 7:17, I have enough time to wake up, shower, shave, whatever, eat, get in the car and go.
Yeah.
Like, but now, I don't really have a per se start time for like work. I can kind of base it around my schedule and stuff. If I have to go out for a shoot and stuff, that's different. But just day to day, like editing and whatnot for me, like it really doesn't matter when I start. Like I can work it throughout the day however I want. But I still like waking up about like 7. Between 6:30 and 7:30 is when I try to wake up. I'll set alarms, like, depending on what time I go to bed or whatever, but usually 7's, like, that starting point. And I wake up, and I just don't feel as rushed now. Mm-hmm. So I can, like, take time. I can, like, either read or listen to a podcast or whatever. Yeah. Kind of, like, almost, I don't say decompress, but like what would the opposite of decompress be? Like recompress? I don't know.
Yeah.
But you know what I'm saying? Like you just kind of like you flow into the day a little bit better.
Yeah.
So like I'm up by 7. I kind of like do that. I have 2 hours I try to give myself. So like by 9, I want to be like doing something productive.
Yeah.
But instead of rushing like 30 minutes to an hour.
Yeah.
And then I get in and it's like, I'm like, you kind of like just thrown into the mix, exactly. Right? And it doesn't matter what you, I could, again, I'm relating it to like my editing stuff, but even in training, right? It's kind of the same principle of you're just kind of rushed into things and you're like, all right, now I got to warm up and like, yada, yada, yada. And like, I don't feel as awake and stuff.
Yeah.
And you don't get as good enough things. Yeah. So I like that. So I'm bringing it up because I know a lot of people do that in regards to just their training, but in day-to-day life is like you kind of just rush into the day where it is nice to, if you can, wake up maybe an hour earlier, give yourself an hour of time just to kind of ease into the day.
Yeah.
For me, I feel I've gotten a lot more success with my productivity, both when I train that way. So when I get to the gym and I warm up and I like kind of go through the motions a little bit better, but also in my day-to-day life, kind of just ease into it.
Yeah, I should. There was one night I didn't sleep at all, and I was up at 5 a.m., and I still rolled into the gym at 6. I should have been there early, like, but I think, like, for me, if I got up earlier than 5:30, I'd move slower, so then it wouldn't wake me up as quickly.
Yeah.
So I think, like, that 5:30, I know, like, by first thing I do is start the truck. I go outside. It's freezing cold out. I'm in my shorts, no shirt, so that wakes me up first.
You don't have like a remote starter?
I do, but it don't have a diesel. So like the diesel, like it's like 10 minutes, and like when it's been negative 14 degrees out, 10 minutes is not enough time for that engine and everything to get warmed up. It's kind of like my body. So I always have to go out there and put the key in the ignition, and then like that shock of the cold wakes me up. But I've gotten it down to a T, 5:30 to 5:35, 5 minutes to do all that. Then I get back downstairs and I shower, and that usually takes me 10 minutes. And then I'm figuring out what I'm wearing that day. That takes me another 5 minutes. And then boom, I'm ready to go.
You shower in the morning every day?
Yeah. I have to. I can't. I take that back. I don't shower every morning. Usually on Monday mornings, because Monday mornings are rough, you know, because, you know, they say.
But you know, some people, like, I hear some people, like, if you shower at night, you don't have to shower in the morning.
Yeah.
Is that a thing for you?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you believe in that?
Yeah. So like Sunday night, like tonight, I'm going to shower. But sometimes I'll still shower Monday mornings because I need to get woke up.
Yeah.
Mondays are tough for me because it's getting back into that
schedule. It's not necessarily a hygiene thing.
Yeah.
It's a like a mental,
like just to wake me up. And some people like, and for me too, like going to bed, I shower every night before I go to bed.
Do you?
Because it puts me to sleep. It relaxes me. Where some people say it wakes them up. I take a hot like a shower.
Hot shower?
Oh man,
how
it,
hot?
It's just it's hot. The hottest
I
it can
can't
be.
Do that.
Oh, I love it. Like, cause then I just like I don't start off really hot. It's like mediocre hot, and then I slowly work up to hot. But I could stand in a shower for probably 15, 20 minutes. And it's just like, but then like we've talked about this before, I think on other podcasts, where it's just time to like decompress and I can think because nobody's like, there's no distractions. So like, I don't try to rush the shower because it's time to relax. But then that's my body knows when I get into the shower, now it's time to start shutting down. So immediately when I get out of the shower, it's brush my teeth, you know, take my contacts out. And then boom, into bed. And then my body shuts down. I could fall asleep in like 2 minutes.
You can fall asleep like that?
Yeah, dude. I'm so exhausted though.
True.
If
you weren't exhausted? Have there been times?
It would probably take me 10, 15 minutes.
Dude.
I
must have like, I think I have some insomnia.
You probably do. A lot of people do though. But I think like, you know, there is, obviously people have problems sleeping, but I think sometimes people aren't using their minds enough and their bodies enough during the day that they're not exhausted and tired. Now, is that healthy to be exhausted and tired every day? You could argue me on that. Maybe, probably not. But for me, Monday through Friday, even Saturday and Sunday, I never have a problem falling asleep. Maybe once out of the year. Because like my body knows and I'm zonked. I'm exhausted. So like it just like my body knows I got to go to sleep. And I know I got to go to sleep. And so it's really easy for me just to fall. I've never struggled while falling asleep. And that's probably been more or less the last 7 years where my schedule's gotten, you know, more and more hectic. But when I can sleep, man, that's ideal, you know. Mm-hmm. And I've never struggled to fall asleep.
Yeah, I don't know what it is with me because I have been both in situations where I'm just wide awake, and there's like you lay in the dark, you close your eyes, and you're like, literally, like, I'll be here for hours.
Yeah.
Like, nothing changes. But even though I've even been in situations where, like, I've been on no sleep, like, I had to pull in an all-nighter for whatever reason.
And you still
work
can't
all day.
Fall asleep.
And then at night, I'm like, oh, yeah, I get to, like, relax. I'm sitting there, and I'm like, I still can't fall asleep. What the hell is going on? And, like, I don't say that's common for me, but most of the time, and I don't know, you could maybe chalk it up to like childhood tendencies or whatever. Like I have to like sleep with like something like occupying my brain, whether it's like, I might put on a podcast or something, like listen to audio.
Yeah.
I might have a fucking documentary in the background and it like, I don't know. It like soothes me or something.
Yeah.
Maybe just keeps me, I don't know. Maybe my brain just runs way too wild if I'm just left with myself, which I should probably work on because maybe I need more of that.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Like you said, like maybe my brain doesn't work enough during the day. Mm-hmm. So it's just overloading at night.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Maybe you're thinking too much. Yeah. I think a lot of it comes down to people think too much at night.
Yeah.
Because they don't allow themselves enough time during the day, or they just don't have enough time during the day to think about those things that they should be thinking about before they get to their bed.
Yeah.
So my thinking time, whatever you want to call it, is in the shower.
Mm-hmm.
I have enough time to do that since I take a 15, 20 minute shower, which is ridiculous.
Which, I mean, I don't think it's ridiculous.
My mom would say it's ridiculous. She would yell at me.
Yeah. I could see it. I don't take long showers at all.
I'm going to tell you a story.
In and I'm out. I might take, so for me, I'll do like Epsom salt soaks and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
That's like my time to like do that. But like in the shower, I don't know what it is. I'm just like in out.
Yeah.
I do hit all areas of the body.
Do you use a loofah or do you use a wash rag?
I think it's a loofah.
How does that clean the body?
What do you mean? What do you consider a loofah?
Like a loofah is like the little like poofy like thing that.
It's like made out of like.
Yeah. I don't get how that cleans. I mean, like, how does that, it's rough, right? So like it'll take off dead skin, but like, I don't understand, like, the whenever soap on it. Yeah, but every time I use a loofah, it just, like, I just feel like it's not like a wash rag. Like a wash rag, I guess.
That's funny because I think when I use a wash rag, I feel I don't get enough, like, sud. Like,
see, I think I feel like the loofah leaves too much suds. Like, I feel like I'm like a snake, like a snake. Like, I'm like, after a loofah, like.
But you're in the shower, so it just,
I know,
washes,
but like, I just feel so much like, I feel so much more like soapy. Like, it doesn't feel like a wash rag. Like, I
and
can.
You don't think that's
but the,
more clean?
Well, I mean, like, I feel like, yeah, but I feel like I'm just slick. Like, I feel like I could, like, just get out of the shower and just slide down the floor.
Even like, after, like, you've rinsed it,
yeah,
all off.
Yeah, like, and it just don't feel like, it just feels more soapy. Like, on a wash rag, like, I use plenty of soap. And so, like, but, like, so I'll wash my body.
And for me, I feel like I need more soap with a wash rag. I feel like I can just put I put a healthy amount on my loofah, and then I just sudy, and then I
get it done. Let me ask you this. How do you wash your back with a loofah? Do you have enough mobility to wash your back?
It's always been a concern of mine.
See, that's me too.
I try to, like, I go every which way. Me too. And I think it's like that little, like, there's a little square in the middle of your back that you
never hit.
Somebody
needs to invent that.
Well, my
like
mom
a thing.
Recently purchased this thing, which is kind of suction to the wall. I haven't used it because I feel so. All right, we'll get into this in a sec, but it's like a, think of like just a piece of towel.
Yep.
That's like long.
Yep.
And then it has like handles on it.
Yeah.
And then you put like, you soap it up and you put it on your back and you basically scrub it that way.
Okay.
Or I've seen people use like it's basically like a big brush, almost like a hairbrush, but it's for the body. And it has like a loofah on one side, one on the other. I've seen that before.
What about the straight up hand method? Yeah.
Impossible.
Does not work. What if you like, I wonder if somebody's invented like a thing to suction to the wall.
And
where you
like
rub your back, you know, like
like a bear,
like a bear
scratching
his
back on a tree.
Yeah, like the Charmin.
Yeah, look into that. That's a good idea.
Yeah,
that's a good
we
theory.
Could just invent something. Right, nobody take this idea.
Yeah, the question I was going to ask. So, in your household, like, does each person have their designated like thing, right?
Like
a loofah, like
a
wash rag.
Yeah.
You all don't use the same wash rag, right?
No.
Okay.
Heck no.
Or anything like that. Toothbrush,
no.
Obviously.
Disgusting.
What about even, so for me, obviously, yeah, that's that. I swear to God, though, I catch my dad not doing that correctly.
Doing what correctly? Washing himself?
Like, so we all, like, I actually went out and bought one time, like, everyone has their own loofah.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
It's like.
Was he using yours?
I has to be, because there's so many times, like,
maybe
I don't notice, but, like, my loofah usually gets, like, worn to hell. Like, they usually, like, start coming apart and, like, the things like that. And then, for some reason, his is always just pristine and, like,
so
nice. I'm like, yeah, I'm using this thing,
you're using
dude.
The same loofah.
Yeah. So, I keep calling him out on it. And
what
I'm
does
like,
he say?
I'm like, that's gross. He's like, it's already soapy. Like, I'm like, no.
Dad, you're washing your balls with the same thing.
Yeah, that's just, like, so every time I, like, get a feeling or a hint that that's occurring, I'll just go out and buy a new one.
Yeah. Well, see, like, I could see, like, that being an issue. I don't shower upstairs where Allie showers and the boys shower. I shower downstairs. Mm-hmm. Sometimes Calvin showers in the downstairs, too. So, like, none of that gets mixed up. Like, the downstairs bathroom is usually just my, I guess you could call it my bathroom, because that's where all my stuff is. So, I don't have to worry about things being shared. But if I did it, I don't know. You wouldn't think it's gross, but it is gross.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but because like soap's involved, hot water's involved, like it has to be killing the germs. But that's so nasty to think about. Yeah. Like,
he's probably gonna laugh. I don't know, he probably doesn't even listen to this. But I even caught him like with the deodorant thing too. Because
he's using your deodorant.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't admit it, but again, it goes on to. I'm sitting here and. I purchase my own stuff. I get my own toiletries and all that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'm using it, and I don't think anything of it. But eventually, I'm sitting here. I'm like, this thing's going out pretty fast. And then I look over, and it's like his shit's not even touched. Like he has his like what is it, Mitchum or whatever, Mitchum,
which is terrible.
Yeah.
I never.
And I'm like,
maybe he thinks your stuff smells good.
That's what I did. So I went out and I bought dual of everything
for him.
Yeah. And here's the funny thing. I think he's been with my mom so long that he just doesn't know how to like.
Change it up.
Provide it for like he doesn't have how to like provide for himself. Yeah, but yeah. Like do those common things. Yeah. Like buy shampoo and buy like things like that.
Dude, Russ has some hair though, so.
Yeah.
He.
But I went out and I'm like, all right, because I and what brought it up one time was again, yeah, it was the deodorant thing, but then it was, I walked past him as he got out of the shower, and I'm like. What the hell?
That is my stuff.
And I'm like, because I use Old Spice. They have like this, it's like a cologne based. Like it smells really good.
And it's
I'm
deodorant?
A big proponent. Like I want, like I like smelling good.
Yes.
Like, if I don't how not do, smell good.
I don't get how guys can do that.
Like smell bad?
Yeah.
Or like
that could
don't
be,
know
it could be
smell?
A part of the do's and don'ts today. But like how do you, yeah, smelling good. Like overall hygiene, like you know when you smell like ass.
And
like
even
ass.
Yeah, the cleanliness. But even like when I put my clothes on, could be probably excessive. But I'll always like if I have cologne or even like my like deodorant spray.
Yeah.
Like I'll do body.
Yeah.
Shirt.
Yeah.
Hit the shirt.
Yeah. Neck shirt
or outer shirt.
Yes.
Like I hit everything up.
Yes, that's me too. I
usually get behind the ears and I get my
is this
hands.
Body spray or cologne? Or do you do both?
Both.
See, I do both. I do my chest. With my body spray, my nuts with my body spray, my shirt with my cologne. Mm-hmm. Then I'll put on another sweatshirt, usually my cologne. Then I'll get my neck, and then I wipe my neck with my wrists. But I'm like, guys, don't do that. Like, why don't you do that? Yeah, no.
And I don't
like
you can call
smell
it whatever
good.
You want. Yeah, like I want to.
You know,
smell
I know when
nice.
I like a guy like no homo here, but I a guy walks by and you're like, wow. Okay, you're wearing some good stuff, man.
Remember when why is his name spacing me right now? Freaking Spenzo.
Yeah.
He came into whatever we were doing. I think we were watching a game or something.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, not to be gay, but what are you wearing right now? Because this smells amazing.
Good.
And it's not like I want, like, oh, I want, I was like, I want to smell like that.
Yeah.
It smells amazing.
Yeah. It's your pheromones that are being released with that. I mean, that's like you. That makes you who you are.
Yeah.
I don't get that. You know, there was a time where I had, it was my cousin's husband, Brandon, who I was working next to him outside one day. And we were close because we were moving something. And I smelled like, there was a smell that smelled like, man, like not a bad smell. It was like cologne. And I'm like, dude, are you wearing cologne right now? He's like, no. I'm like, what are you wearing? And he's like, nothing. I'm like, are you sure? And he's like, no, it's my deodorant. You're probably smelling. I'm like, your deodorant smells that good? And I asked him what he wears. And so he wears, or what he told me he was wearing was Degree Clinical.
Okay.
And that's what I wear now. And it's a clean smell. And, dude, it smells phenomenal. And I don't spit out as much, you know, as I used to. But that's what I wear. And then everything else, you know, goes with it. But there's something to it. Like, you should be smelling good.
Yeah. I like I
but,
I
but
need
maybe
to
some
smell
people
good.
Don't care.
Yeah. I know there's some points where like you probably don't like I don't need to be smelled. Like I don't want to I don't want to like put off like scents, but like I just want to know like when I'm walking around like if I am smelled for whatever reason, it's good.
Or like
and it's
even
pleasant.
If you walk by there's always a breeze.
Yeah.
So I was like, "Oh."
Yeah, it's
that's
like,
a
you
good
know, like
lady.
I don't want to
That's a good smelling lady.
Yeah.
No, I agree.
Do you change up like your deodorants and like, do you buy the same stuff every single time? So for me, I always, for whatever reason, I don't know if it's maybe because I want to like know that I'm smelling good. And the longer I use a specific scent, the more accustomed I get to it. So I'm like, I don't think I smell good. So I always have to, I don't know.
Rotate.
Yeah.
Change it up.
I change up whether it's brands or even the scents of the brands.
I've been stuck on the same deodorant for a long time. Because what I do is I put it on at night and then I wear like a t-shirt to bed and then it somehow just stops me from overly pitting. So like I do that before bed.
Yeah.
And then, I'll use like sometimes this might be gross. After I get done training, I don't have time to go home and shower. But then again, like I'm going to be sweating throughout the rest of the day anyways.
Yeah,
there's no point.
There's acceptance. And
so like I'll spray on like a Degree spray. Like for deodorant, but like my body sprays, I use like a buckle kind of body spray that I
like a cologne, right? Like a,
it's like a cologne, but it's you know, like cheap $12 thing of just spray, and that'll be on my skin. And then the cologne that I've always used is Ed Hardy, Skulls and Roses.
No, it's funny that you bring that up. So for me, again, for whatever reason, I need all my scents to align.
Oh man, I like being.
So you're
a little
saying
bit
how like you have one scent. So when I buy like my cologne and stuff, like I always try to buy it in the same family of scents.
Yeah, I
like,
guess
if
I could probably
ocean,
do
like,
that.
And for some weird reason, I've like been on this voyage of trying to find, like actual like cologne and body spray and
that
deodorant
match.
That like just match.
Okay.
But it's hard too because like some like when you buy cologne, like whatever cologne, I think I have Boss now. It smells really good.
Oh yeah, Boss is
good.
But
I'm like, I wish this had like a deodorant because like, I don't know, if I just don't like having contrasting smells.
See, I
like,
just
I have this like foresty, like wood sandal smell, and then it's like a more tropically.
I get what you're saying.
So I do when I buy my stuff, it's like it's in the same family.
It makes sense. I always question though, like the deodorants that like these cologne companies make. I wonder if they're, you know, like, are they really like that good of deodorant?
Yeah.
Like, that's not your thing. Like, the deodorants are your, like, Old Spice, Degrees, Axe.
Meacham.
Yeah, Meacham. Meacham.
Speed
I mean, like,
Sticks.
So, like, Speed Sticks, like, all those are reputable. They've been around for a long time.
They're
so, like,
deodorants. They're not.
They're not a cologne.
Yeah, they're not body scents.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's colognes, yeah.
So, I always have questioned, like, what is in this product that I'm going to put under my armpits? But I think like what you're talking about is good. I think it's kind of nice to be. You probably are not going to smell the body spray. And this is just an opinion. Underneath my shirt, unless my shirt is off, right? So like I feel like it's probably for me. I don't feel like I'm mixing. I just know that I like to make sure that I have something on my skin.
Yeah, now, it absolutely doesn't matter. Like, there's not like I'm not saying like everyone should have their own smell, but for me personally, I'm always like, I just need my stuff to like smell all the same.
Do you wear lotion?
Periodically.
Bath and Body Works.
Not as much as I should.
Has a phenomenal men's lotion.
I used to use. I think it was my grandma bought me it one time for like a. It was like a package for like the gifts, like Christmas gifts or whatever. Yeah. It was men's. I think it was Ocean or something like that.
Okay.
It had the body wash, it had the deodorant stick, and then it had the lotion.
Okay.
And dude, I wore the shit out of that.
Yeah.
That's probably the only time I wore lotion like on a daily basis.
Yep.
Otherwise, now it's like whenever I feel I need lotion, which is definitely
bad.
Yeah,
yeah. I have to wear lotion all the time because my skin gets really dry, and then I get really ashy on my legs. But, I mean, I don't wear a lotion that smells good. I just wear like a good lotion.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I did have a few years ago, Bath and Body Works sold a men's lotion. That, I mean, I don't feel like the smell was phenomenal, but like I don't think it really helped the skin as much. But then like when it comes to like body washes, I'll rotate that. They sell this one at Target that's in a brown bottle that looks kind of like wood around it. I don't know how to explain
it. Is it more like...
It's like
is
a
it
skinny,
round or is it
it's like
long?
An, it's all. It's like this.
Yeah.
I don't know how to explain.
It's like
that.
A book.
Yeah, it's
right?
Like a book, like a, and then it has like I forget the name of it.
Is it like? Isn't it like Everyman?
Yeah,
Everyman or something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah, and
I've
like,
tried that before.
Yeah. Did you like it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what I wear, and I'll switch back and forth. If they have a new kind, I'll be that guy in the aisle that'll smell everyone, or like even with like the body sprays, I spray them and I smell it.
I will say probably my favorite goat like. I should buy it more, but I don't because it's like not that convenient to buy. Like, yeah, Bath and Body Works, like their stuff smells phenomenal, and I wish they had more like selections because that Ocean stuff, I can't remember, but yeah, it was the lotion, the body wash, and then like the deodorant, and I was like, this stuff make like where's the cologne? I need a candle of this. Like, it just smells
so
good.
And like
good.
That's the thing too is like you make your body smell good. You know what else is gonna smell good? Your car smells good. You know what else smells good? Your house smells good.
I might have like a higher sense of smell than not like
I
everyone.
Just, I don't think guys care. That's what I think it comes down to.
But even when I walk, like even in my house and stuff, like if you go into my bedroom, it smells nice.
Yes.
Like I don't want it to like.
They smell. They,
I don't know. I
they
don't
sell
know
this
it
candle
is.
From Target. It's a blue. I couldn't tell you the smell of it, but it's blue. It's in a blue glass thing, container. And it smells phenomenal. And I would suggest, men, if you want something to smell good in your house, that smells phenomenal. It's more of a man smell. Not like car scents, though. Like, everybody used, you know, like, I have this, have an OCD with my truck or cars that I've owned. And so like they always smelled good. Yeah. I don't want them to smell bad. But the normal that I would always go to or used to go to is the Black Ice. Like that one always smells good. But that's what everybody uses.
Yeah,
but
it's so common.
I use this like leather cleaner that smells good. And I don't even know what it is. Like, I mean, but if you do one thing, you know, you got to do everything.
Yeah. So,
it's just one of those things.
Yep. All right. We should probably stop talking about random stuff. Let's get into a whole reason why we're doing this podcast. I wanted to bring up today, Miguel, just some things you might see in the gym that maybe the general public or the general athlete or even the specific athlete, the person in the gym and whatever level of fitness they're in or experience they're in, what they could maybe do better that they're not doing and maybe stop doing like do that what they are doing. So maybe like just be better, like either improve something or eliminate something in their training. And I brought this up a lot of times, and we'll start it with this, is I always tell people to, in whatever capacity of training you're doing, you should definitely have a plan, right? Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
So whether it's following a program, having some sort of structure to provide yourself of that roadmap.
Yeah.
I don't think a lot of people do that. And I think what they far do more often is they just kind of go in and don't really have a plan, do maybe things that they like or do the things that they're kind of used to.
Yeah.
So for me, my first kind of tip or my first suggestion would be to have some structure, some plan, and be able to follow it for a period of time where you can definitively tell if you either enjoy it and it's going to show you success or it's not.
Yeah, I agree. That's a good one. Yeah, I 100% on that.
So what's your thought? So obviously you come from a background of like we both have been in positions where we've given out training regimens, programs to athletes or whatever. What do you see as the benefit to having a program versus maybe like a workout plan? Is there any difference or contrast to that?
You know, the program gives you enough time to adjust, to adapt to what you're doing. So usually, you know, we do 3 to 4 week programs and then we switch. 3 weeks is usually good enough, though. I would say like 4 weeks is good too, but it depends on the level of training that you're at. For me, being not a novice lifter anymore, more advanced, I would say 3 weeks is adequate. The first week is just, I look at it as, let's say I do a different squat. Week one is my body's getting acclimated to the stimulus. Week two, it's making the change. Week three, I've mastered it. Then I switch it out. When it comes down to athletes of training, I think you need a little bit more than 3 weeks. 4 weeks is probably perfect. And so usually all the programming I do is based off of 4 weeks. You learn the exercise the first week. You kind of figure it out. You tweak it the second week. Third week's getting even better. Fourth week, they've mastered it. They're ready. Their bodies are ready to move on. So I think that just keeps you in a position of lowering the chance of getting injured, and then get some time, enough time to master that movement for the most part. And then they're ready to go. So I think it just gives you guidance in your training on getting better and better at movements. And then I always look at it as once I master a movement, now I can challenge that movement and make it harder. But if it's not good enough, yeah, even if it's not good enough in 4 weeks, it might take an athlete longer than 4 weeks. And that's okay. So then maybe I'll throw it into the next program a little bit too. You know, we're always doing some type of squat movement. Now I can vary it the next program. You know, the next 4 weeks can be a little bit more different.
What you're describing too is like every 4 weeks, you maybe not change up like the nuts and bolts of things, but you're tweaking it. So it's like, it's not like, oh, we're squatting and then we're not squatting. It's like, no, we're always doing
some type of
base movement pattern and then we're changing
everything. Yep, for sure.
So I think two things you're kind of bringing up is one, obviously in a 3 to 4, 6 week, whatever structure you're in, you're doing things multiple weeks in a row for the sake of adaptation, for accustomed you're accustoming yourself to that thing. Because obviously, practice makes perfect. The best way to get better at something is to do it the right way in a consistent, continuous manner.
Yeah.
Because if you're just squatting in like 1 week, and then the next week you're not, and then the third week you're doing something else, and then like you come back to it after a month, it's you're not going to improve
be any
on
better.
It. Yeah, you're not going to improve on your strength, your coordination, none of that stuff.
Yeah.
So we always program programs and plans in that manner because we want to improve on something. And the only way to do that is to do that enough. But then you're also saying you don't want to do it too much, too often, too long, because your body does get accustomed to it, and the stimulus, the growth, starts to either kind of plateau
or you'll go backwards.
Yeah, or regress.
For sure. For sure.
So, yeah. So, I always say that with people is, have structure. You don't have too much structure. And I know for me, that's a downside is if I'm too caught up in the numbers, I start to not enjoy it. Mm-hmm. And that would be my next kind of tip or to do would be to have your plan that you're going to enjoy, you know, because like I don't do yoga because I don't like yoga. I don't enjoy yoga. I know there's a lot of benefits to it. I know there's a lot of positivity that is provided to people when they do it. But for me, there's more like bitching and moaning and like there's less satisfaction in it. So you want something, of course, that's going to pole vault your progress and in line with your goal or your desire, but it's also going to be enjoyable.
Yeah.
You know, especially in the regards of just like general health and well-being. Like if you're just in the gym to be better and you don't really have a true specific goal of like a lift number or a certain type of number for running or whatever it is, like you're just in there to provide yourself a better lifestyle. Whatever you're doing in the gym should be really, really fun, really enjoyable and really satisfying as well as helping you. So I always say people, that's kind of my biggest two tips is have a plan and enjoy the plan.
Yeah.
And I think if you have those two things, you're going to have more consistency, you're going to have more longevity, and you're going to obviously stick with it for longer periods of time. So what's your thoughts on doing things in the gym that are enjoyable to you as well as goal setting?
I think you need to do things that are enjoyable, but you're also gonna have to do things that aren't enjoyable, because usually we neglect the things that aren't enjoyable, which are usually our weaknesses, so then we can't get better because we're not doing them. But you make a good point though that you need to enjoy it if you're going to stick with it too.
Yeah.
It's got to be a happy medium. You got to do some that's not going to be what you're desiring, but then you're going to have some that you really do like, and then they go together so that you can get better.
Yep.
But you get
what constitutes too is like when you see progress, you enjoy more as well. So you are riding. Yeah. You ride the line of, there are things you're going to have to do that you don't necessarily want to do.
Yeah.
But the result aids in that enjoyability.
Exactly.
So I like that.
Yeah. So it's both ways. Enjoy your training, but also know that a lot of it's not going to be as enjoyable. It's going to suck. But that's part of the process of you getting better.
And I think you become in tune to that kind of uncomfortableness, and you begin to enjoy it for sure. Because, I like going in the gym and feeling myself kind of being kind of put in pressured, stressful situations that I know are going to aid in an adaptive outcome.
Mm-hmm. For sure. For sure. I agree.
All right, I got something next.
Okay.
Unless you got anything? You got
do's and don'ts.
Yeah. I don't know if you've
recovery. I would say that's a big one at the top of the list in my head is, and I don't want to keep saying things. You just need to recover. You know, if you're doing everything and you're not recovering, then none of it matters. You know, you have to get your sleep, you have to eat a proper food, and you need to hydrate. And so we've talked about it. I'm not going to go over it more than that. But just understand recovery is huge for training. If you're not doing it, you can't train. And if you're not doing it, you're not going to recover for your sport. And people under recover.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. You get more focused on what's going on inside the gym and the numbers of it. And you're less caught up in the other factors that aid into it. It's a big melting pot of things. You know, everyone thinks, especially from a beginning standpoint, you come in like, what's the goal of this? Oh, to lift big or do this or do that. Like, it's the feats of strength that people look at. It's not the effects of those things. Mm-hmm. You know, like, we want to be stronger because it helps us in other factors, you know. Yeah. It helps us to not be hurt, not be able to unperform in like just any lifestyle task. Mm-hmm. You know, so don't get so caught up in what you're doing with the barbell. Think of other things that helps benefit that with that recovery standpoint. Yeah. So you're right on the head with that. My next thing, so I don't want to call this a gripe or something like that, but something I see in the gym that people don't utilize enough, or they overlook, or they maybe don't do as all, is like warm up and accessories. Mm-hmm. So kind of everyone always looks at what people are doing in the gym and they see like, the big lifts, the main lifts, the big weights, the things like that. And they don't realize that that's just a very small, finite part of the plan, the process, the program, or whatever. So I feel most people could benefit from more rigorous warming up, more specific, more in-tune warming up, and then accessory stuff, you know? So for me, just kind of giving you a spotlight on what I've kind of started doing recently is it always, for me, used to be like 80% of my training was main lift training, mm-hmm. training big, training heavy, things like that. And then about 20% of it was accessory work, including mobility, warm-up, et cetera. But the older I get, maybe the wiser I get, I'm kind of starting to transition more, less big lifting, main lifting, mm-hmm. heavy exerted lifting, into more accessory, body, spatial, complementary, like, lifting.
Yeah.
Because, again, this is kind of puts myself in a bubble. I'm not talking like this is everyone's result, but for me, the more I lift big and heavy and often, like, the worst I feel. Mm. And you could relate it to, I'm probably like, you're maybe overdoing it, doing it wrong, whatever. But that's a problem for me.
Yeah.
So what I'm starting to do is I'll still hit my bigger lifts. Like, I still like to squat. I still like to Olympic lift. But I'm just not doing those as often. And I'm focusing more on, like, unilateral work. Things that I don't think a lot of people do enough of. Accessory work, mm-hmm. and then warming up. Staying on accessory work is, I've been spending a lot of time on just, like, single leg stuff, like, balance, coordination, like, just things like that. Symmetry work. And what I'm finding is, when I do come back to my bigger lifts, my main lifts, I feel better. Mm-hmm. I feel kind of more like refreshed. I feel like I can hit my numbers a lot easier or a lot more frequently than just kind of pounding the pavement of the big lifts. Now, obviously, if your goal and your expectations are those things, you have to do them, obviously. I'm not saying you shouldn't be lifting heavy anymore. You should focus on other areas. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, like, find a balance of accessory work, warming up. And then warming up, my next thing I was going to say is I don't think people warm up as vigorously as they should.
Yeah.
So what I've been starting to do, and this is maybe a tip for people, is use your warm up to address your accessories. And that's what I've started to do. And it's a very positive thing. I think a lot of people could benefit from it. Is so a lot of like single leg work, a lot of single side work, a lot of lateral work, a lot of things like that. I'm putting in a warm up, and I'm doing, because for one, obviously they're doing everything you're wanting a warm up to do. Get the body warmed up, get the blood flowing, kind of fire the muscular system, things like that. But then they're addressing weaknesses. They're addressing your weak sides, your unilateral, your stability, your things like that. So it's kind of hitting two birds with one stone. So if maybe you're someone that's like, you know, I like getting into my squats. I like getting into that. Your warm up coupled with your accessory work kind of right off the bat would definitely be something to look at, because we both know that it's way beneficial if you're symmetrical and like you have your accessory work in. So that's one thing I see people underutilize is accessory work and warm up.
That's a good one. Yeah, I don't really have much to add to that. I don't warm up enough.
And again, I was the same way. I still am the same way sometimes. Like sometimes I want to get in the gym. I feel good. Yeah. So I kind of get in and go. But I just know from a learning standpoint, there's sometimes more harm than good there. Yeah. Because, yeah, like you're getting into your lift. You're right away. You probably feel good. But more often than not, for me, again, just kind of looking at my body of work is I have more regression than progression when it comes to that. When I warm up thoroughly, when I focus on hitting good lifts frequently, like I'm not going crazy, and this is going to be my next kind of don't and do. And then I address my accessories, I address my mobility and stuff. More consistently, I'm coming in the gym, hitting better numbers more regularly. I'm not as exhausted. I'm not as like beat up.
Yeah.
So it just helps me out. So then my next one, I don't know if this is my last one or whatever, but my next one, and I was kind of elating it to it last week, is the whole like maxing out, the frequency of maxing out. This is what I see people do a lot. You talk about it a lot of times with your athletes and things like that, is just going too heavy too often. Much.
That's a good one. You know, I was going to say that. Yeah,
we talked about that maybe a little bit last time, but like heavy is relative person to person, right? Mm-hmm. Heavy, going heavy, there's benefit in that. Mm-hmm. It's going too heavy.
Too often.
Too often. Yeah. And, you know, we were talking about programs earlier. Like, I see people trying to max out, like, every 3-4 weeks, you know?
Or and it's even
like,
every week.
Yeah, weekly, yeah. You're, like, hitting, like, what is going on? You're not giving your body, obviously, enough time to adapt, recover.
Yeah.
And you're kind of just, you're just floating in this space of, like, all right, I'm hitting, like, I'm hitting the same number every single time. It's like, but you're not progressing from that. Yeah. Like, oh yeah, you're hitting a 300-400 pound lift, but you're just staying, like, you're just there. Like, that's your world. What about that 350, or that 450, 500 pounds? Like, where do you see that coming? That comes from, obviously, progressional stuff. So the more I see people maxing out, the more, not cringy it is, but I just wish people would understand, like, probably every 10 to 12 weeks is when you should be maxing out. And that's specifically, too, if that's kind of the thing you're looking for. Because I kind of said it last time is, like, what's even the point of maxing out?
Yeah.
You know, there's some benefits to it. Obviously, you're showing progression. Mm-hmm. You have some data to follow. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like you're max out your exerted amount of weight at this specific rep of this specific movement is this in 10 to 12 weeks. If we're doing the things right, when we get there, it's going to change.
Yeah.
So you have something to follow.
Yeah.
But yeah, people just, they think too into maxing out lifting to a failure point for what reason do you think that even is?
Ego,
like, why
man.
Is maxing
it's
out
ego.
So cool?
It's all ego. It's what you see out there. Heavyweights are cool to be moved. You know, you feel like you need to do it, and the more you do it, you feel like the better you're going to get, which in return doesn't usually work that way. I think you can do it as you're younger. You can max out more often, but then you might mess up your body. But you can recover quicker when you are younger. You know, your teenager years, early 20s, recovery is a lot quicker. When you get to be in your 30s, you don't recover as quickly.
So I would say you probably shouldn't max out as much when you're younger.
No,
because...
It could ruin you as you get older. Yeah,
and you're just teaching yourself. You're putting yourself in this lifestyle of like, oh, like I'm hitting my maxes all the time. Because eventually, like you said, your recovery's faster. You're able to perform sooner. But that shit's going to catch up to you, right? It catches up to everybody.
Yeah.
And what the problem is, and this is something I see, this could be another topic though. This is something I see just in sports in general. Like you live in this world for so long. Mm-hmm. And you don't understand there's a lot, like that period of time is finite. Like that's not forever.
Yeah.
It's like playing in the NFL, like the NFL or any professional sport's not forever, but you've lived in it. You've embodied it for so long that when you get out of it, there's a lot of things like that. It's just like a shell shock to you.
Yeah.
You're like, well, what the fuck do I do now?
Yep.
This is all I know. Mm-hmm. So kind of equating that to maxing out is like, if you're always lifting heavy to lift heavy and you're always like testing the limits and stuff, like hopefully you understand that. Like if that's what you want to do, great, awesome. Like that's good things. But it's a finite thing, right? Mm-hmm. It's going to come to an end at some point.
Yeah.
And if you don't understand that, and if you live in that world, yeah, you get to a point where it's like, and I'm kind of in that position now where it's like I'm still lifting heavy enough, I'm still hitting numbers, but there's starting to become downsides to it. Like I'm mm-hmm. sitting here, I'm like, for whatever reasons, but I'm not feeling as productive maybe in my everyday life. I'm not as recovered. Mm-hmm. So I'm sitting there, I'm used to being able to come in the next week and hit heavier numbers or hit the same numbers or do the same stuff, and it's not happening because physiologically my body's kind of I don't want to say decreased, I'm not old, you know, but like it just happens to the best of us. So for me, if you can kind of get ahead of that, start maxing out less, starting to, like I said before, warming up better, doing other things better, having more complementary training. Mm-hmm. I think there's more longevity into it. There's more, probably even more progress into it. So that's how I feel about maxing out.
Yeah. I think you're onto something, man. For sure. Our training's changed up a little bit. We used to go heavy all the time, and now we're doing two speed days and two heavy days. I feel better.
Yeah. What's the difference in that?
I don't know. I kind of miss the heavy days, but that's all what I've done for so long. It gives your body time to recover. You're not pounding the pavement all the time. My knees feel better. Mentally, I feel better. But I do miss the heavy weight on my back. I miss just heavy. I've not. That's what I know. You know. So I don't know, man. Like, we'll see how this all goes. Like, if I can PR off of this, which hopefully I will be able to, this will be the new thing that I do. You know, this is the conjugate method. Mm-hmm. And obviously, they know what they're doing there. But it's just changing the mentality that I've had for a long time, that I don't need to go heavy a lot.
So what was that method? I don't think I've ever asked you that. Because I know you were someone that obviously was lifting heavy, lifting often.
I just, you know, I was always...
Your approach was this specific way. Where did that come from?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I've done it for years. I've gone up and up and up.
If you see a success in it,
why would I change it?
Yeah, why change it? Yeah.
But it's just, you get to that point where your body's just not... You're not recovering as well. You're not sleeping as much. You know, those things, you get your age. So I just felt like my body wasn't moving as well, and body weight wasn't really happy where I was. So cut my body weight down a little bit and decided, to do something different.
Mm-hmm.
So we're doing the conjugate method, and I like it. It's just like sometimes in my head, I'm like, I still want to lift heavy on box squat and, you know, heavy on back squat, and it's not, I just, you know, once I see the results, then I'm going to be bought in, but I haven't maxed out yet for a while.
Or something that might start happening is you might start seeing more satisfaction from not feeling like shit all the time.
Exactly.
Like, cause for me, that's what it is right now, is like, I'm lifting heavy less often. I'm doing less lifts, less off. Like, I'm doing other stuff, and I'm sitting here, and like, I'm in that same boat as you're saying. It's like, man, I miss that. Like, I miss being able to do certain things.
Yeah.
But now I'm sitting here, and it's like, but I like this too.
Yeah.
Like, I like feeling like when I wake up, or if I'm just moving throughout the day, like my back doesn't feel like it's like effed up, or not even like from an injury standpoint, just from like a beat down standpoint. Mm-hmm. Like, some of that stuff, like, it beats you up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny, I was doing this the other day. I'm sitting here, and we lift, we train, we exercise to improve ourselves, right? Mm-hmm. To improve our quality of life, to improve our performance, whatever it is. And I had this like epiphany moment, or whatever it was. It's like, I'm sitting there, I think my dad asked me to do something or whatever, and I almost brought up that an excuse, like, I can't do that or whatever it was. And I didn't say this, but I kind of like had this conversation with myself. It's like, I told myself, it's like, you can't. That's something you're incapable of doing. Now you can't do it, but it's like my legs are really sore right now.
Mm.
And my body is like kind of broken down because I just had a great training session yesterday.
Yeah.
So I can't go and do this yard work or whatever it is. And then it just hit me. It's like, that makes no goddamn sense. Uh-huh. It's like you're in the gym training and doing these feats of strength to be able to do things outside of the gym, to perform outside of the gym. But you're telling yourself you're incapable of doing that right now because of the sole thing you're in the gym doing.
Doesn't make sense. Yeah.
So after kind of like having that realization, I'm like, I should probably change things up. Mm-hmm. And of course, I want to still be in the gym. I want to still do things. I want to still train. It's just now I'm kind of slowly adapting different methods that I can stay satisfied with, mm-hmm. but I can also have more better quality of life or longevity or whatever it is. Well, all right.
All right.
That's it. See you next time.